freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Hey, it's another Brock and Salk podcast. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, Brock. Looking sharp and fancy today. You're watching on the new video feed. By the way, we've been doing this video feed for this now. It's like a YouTube video of the podcast. We've done it every week except the one week we had Eric O'Flaherty in. The only week we had a guest, we were like, don't worry about it. No biggie. Like, O'Flaherty, I think, is interesting to watch in some ways. Not just to listen to, because he's kind of got that baseball player mentality, that look. Thankfully, he wasn't dipping or anything during the interview, which is a normal baseball player thing to do. But I don't know. It was a 1 week we didn't video. Seems like a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like we dropped the ball there.
No, I think Howdy wanted to make sure that he only gets videotaped when he's on.
Right, because he took Howdy's spot.
He took that spot.
Right,
yeah.
And so Howdy felt like we couldn't use
it.
No.
Yeah, I made a call on that and decided... If people really weren't going to want to see it anyway. So.
Right. People only want to see
it. I wasn't going to be in it, so they were like, eh. That's the only reason why people asked for this video.
Uh-huh. Howdy's been busy over there, man. We'll get to this a little later in the podcast, but he's been busy. What is he? What are you using? Logarithms or algorithms?
Algorithms.
What's the difference?
I'm using algorithms. Logarithms is just straight math.
Okay.
You know, I don't need just math. All right. I need something that is going to do the math and think about the math for me. So when I put information in, it will update all
algorithm.
My formulas.
He's writing like DOS code, binary code, 11001100.
Is there anything in between
sign,
over
cosine,
there?
Sign.
Is there like a mix between a logarithm and an algorithm, like an algorithm or something?
An algorithm?
An algorithm. It would sort of be in between the two.
Well, this seems like way too complicated a situation.
You're the big brain, Mr. Pomona.
I don't know. I got out of that math game after one semester. See you later.
So I just went legal pad. Like, look at that. Like, I got all my old school notes.
Yeah.
Like, people, if you're into the draft and the combine and players and Seahawks future players, like, I got them right here.
It's all in
my legal notepad.
Right.
I don't need no algorithm, but I'm looking forward, Howdy, to mixing your algorithms with my little notepad and see what we come together.
How does your algorithm handle free agency?
Incredibly well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I'm actually trying to sort of go at John Clayton with this.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to usurp his throne over time with my algorithms and databases.
Battles the algorithm.
Yeah, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
It's becoming problematic. It's to the point where, like, well, for, like,
the listeners,
Jake Heaps, who the show becomes his secondary, like, responsibility at work because he just wants to get to the break so that he can dive back into the spreadsheet.
All right, well, I don't know the name. I don't care about names. All I know is this. It sounds like Clowney maybe, might now not sign with the Seahawks. Those are the reports. If they don't bring back Clowney, which I think is fine, they better go spend a boatload of money on that position. And I think I could make a pretty good argument that you'd be better off not re-signing Clowney.
Really?
I think you could make a pretty good argument that they need more than one or two guys at that position. That the only year the Seahawks have ever won the Super Bowl, they had four guys at that position, all of whom were capable of getting to the quarterback. And that in addition to those four guys, it allowed the guys up the middle to have more success as well, the Mee Baines and the Quentin McDonalds of the world. And that, you know, it'd be great to bring back Clowney. I really enjoyed him. I thought he was a really good player for them. But him alone, we saw what that is.
I'm a little leery of looking what the market was 7 years ago and what the market deemed for defensive linemen and pass rushers in the premium that now are
pass rushers. It was put on there, too.
Well,
absolutely untrue.
I don't remember all of those guys being franchised. Like, it looks like Judon's going to be franchised and Ngakoue is going to be franchised. The pass rusher from Pittsburgh is going to be franchised. They're all franchised. Like, that's the way that the market now sees it. Instead of letting the guy from the Baltimore Ravens, who you and I liked so much.
Paul Kruger.
There you go.
That's our guy.
Instead of letting him go out and test the market you know, Judon is Paul Kruger of 2013. And the Ravens are saying, nope, we're going to franchise it because we saw what the Seahawks did and the Chiefs, and we've seen what others have been able to do. And we can get value back. It's all about this value. And that valuation in baseball and that valuation in football, it changes. And I think that position more than any other in 7 years, that valuation is different. And if you want one of those...
I don't think it's that different. I mean, maybe the way they're handling it is a little bit different, but it's not like pass rusher wasn't at a premium in 2013.
What is your algorithm spitting out, Howdy, as far as the percentage of pay that these defensive ends are making today and these players are making today? Yes, it was always a premium. Pass rushers were always a premium. It's a left tackle. It's a DN. It's a quarterback. It's all of that.
Been at a premium since Lawrence Taylor in the 80s.
But it sure feels like these dudes and these organizations are a fair amount smarter today than they were 7 years ago. Homeboy, what was his name? Buddy Nix up there in Buffalo? Remember that GM? When he would get up there,
no, what,
you don't remember him.
I do not recall him,
Buddy Nix.
Well,
name is familiar.
Yeah, we played his audio.
Of Lance Nix, who I think played for the Rangers.
I don't know if it was Buddy Nix. Well, we played some audio of some stumbling
Buddy Nix, former general manager of the Bills.
Wow. There you go. Go ahead and play his audio. That's 09 in the system.
To 2013. Rock's got his own algorithm,
and his audio in the system is going to say even they will hire the Raiders. Even the Raiders, someone wants their. I mean, he was just. From a relic from 30 years
some
ago.
Buddy Nix cuts talking about the Raiders. Brock, well done.
Wow. Go ahead and fire
away. That's April 2013.
Listen to this.
I can't speak for other folks. Shoot. I mean, this is, you look at the history of the Buffalo Bills, and I've come in that stadium enough times to know about the fans of the Bills Nation. Who wouldn't want to come here?
I wish you guys had been answering my phone the last 2 weeks. I'm trying not to exaggerate, 15 calls a day begging for an interview and wanting this job. I could have hired 35 or 40 the first week. Trust me, it's a good job. Don't ever think you can't fill coaching jobs, even if they're bad. Oakland gets a lot of calls.
Aww.
Don't say I said that.
All right, couple of things.
That guy was an NFL GM?
Couple of things.
What?
I don't remember that, although hearing it brings it back. Second, what did you say the date was? April 2013?
It was just 2 days before Salk's birthday, 2013.
Okay, so I wasn't here. You and I were not together for that. That's a Brock and Danny job, not a Brock and Salk job. I wasn't here.
No, that guy fit your criteria that you love to rip on.
Well, absolutely, but I don't think
stumbling and bumbling.
No kidding. That's the guy who's gonna draft Jacob Eason in the first round.
That guy's
gonna be like, oh, Jacob Eason's got a big arm.
No, that guy's out of the league. That guy is out of the league.
Believe me, his minions are still
and
in it.
Front
somewhere.
Offices all around the league are now littered and filled with guys like Howdy. They got all these algorithms that place all this valuation on place. It's just harder to
find. I don't
need
an algorithm for it. Just watch football. The pass rusher is pretty important.
Yes.
The Seahawks didn't have Jack in that category this past year.
Correct.
And it cost their defense on nearly every single possession.
Yes.
They need multiple guys.
And
so
unfortunately,
there are still guys available.
Unfortunately,
Brock. Maybe it's not going to be the Ngakwe or whoever,
okay.
But. What about Vic Beasley or Jason Pierre-Paul? I mean, those guys still get to the quarterback better than the guys you have. How about Bruce Irvin? At least Bruce Irvin has still gotten to the quarterback over the last few years. What happened to trading for Von Miller? I thought that was a possibility. Like, I mean, just because, like, Clowney's not the only option.
True.
I appreciate your fear-mongering over here, like some sort of a whatever. Like a, you're like handling this like some people are handling the coronavirus.
You're like an NFL owner over there, just building up fear in everyone.
You're fear-mongering and getting people to go out and buy toilet paper.
Were you going to call me a liberal, or are you waiting for later in the show
believe
me,
to do that?
That'll come.
Your new liberal views on the world.
Great. Okay.
That'll be coming.
Awesome.
But there are pass rushers. You just have to figure out the best way to go get them, and that's not my job. That's John Schneider's job.
Yes.
Go find three pass rushers, and if Clowney's one of them, fine, but you need two more. And if he's not, then go get three. And one of them's got to be very good. The other two have to be pretty good, and then you are going to be a great team again. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
This is not brain surgery.
Right.
You don't need an algorithm or an algorithm or a logarithm or a limit up to a line or whatever else.
Kyle, you see what I just drew?
Just get three pass rushers.
See what
it's
I just drew?
It's a trust tree.
Yeah, no, it's a defensive.
Pass
it's
tree.
A pass rush tree.
Oh, like,
and I just go pluck them out of my backyard.
Pulling
DNs. No, I got this
I just
pass
named
rushing.
Five of them.
I got this. Yes, I know.
Like the cherries falling in Salk's yard. They're just DNs littering the ground now.
There's old slow Bruce. There's JPP with one hand and a broken neck.
33 years old.
Who else you got for me? Because I can just go pluck.
Von Miller?
Tree. Okay, maybe Von Miller. And what am I going to have to give up for Von Miller?
They give up a second and a fourth.
Yeah, a bunch of those teams, if indeed they let them go for a position that is such a need, are letting a guy go for a reason because they can't play anymore in their estimation. Oh my gosh, the Seahawks are going to let go of Brandon Jackson. Oh my gosh, the Seahawks are going to let go.
What did you just call Bruce?
What's that?
What did you call Bruce?
Old and slow.
Old and slow.
Yeah.
How many sacks did he have last year?
I don't know, eight.
Eight and a half.
Oh, there we go. For
I'm
who?
Sorry. For the Panthers.
Uh-huh.
You had, like, four sacks total in your team.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you want a guy with 8.5 sacks? I'm sorry. That's not good enough for you? You don't want 8.5 sacks as one of your three pass rushers?
It could be.
If you had three guys who all had 8.5 sacks,
sure,
you would like, it would be the million times multiplier over what you had last year.
Yes.
I'm not talking about going out and spending on like the or getting the guys that everyone else is saying they absolutely need. Why can't you go after a Bruce Irvin, a Vic Beasley, a Jason Pierre-Paul? They're not perfect. Neither were Michael Bennett and Cliff Avril when you went after them.
Yeah, but
neither
you
was
had,
Chris Clemens when you got him. But you've got to find somebody who's not Rasheem Green.
Yes. Yes,
who's
you do.
Not Brandon Jackson.
But let me tell you, in this division, you need Clowney and. You need three.
I agree with
for
you.
For your defensive line. Okay. And it's not Quentin Jefferson and it's not Brandon Jackson.
But don't you,
and I don't think
but
it's
don't
Rasheem
you think the
Green.
Easiest way to do that is by, it, there's a way to do that. Maybe it's the easiest that involves not re-signing Clowney and spending all that money and then spending less money on two or three other guys and drafting one?
It could be. What does your quarterback want?
What do you mean?
Your quarterback
star.
Wants a star.
I hope he wants to win.
He wants superstars because superstars win you games.
By the way, Jason Pierre-Paul, 8.5 sacks also last year.
Yes.
If you signed those two guys, you wouldn't want their 17 sacks?
I know they were on terrible teams and they racked up some numbers.
Brock,
I get some
no,
of that.
No, that is not enough. The Seahawks couldn't get to the quarterback on a good team.
Yep.
It's not just, this isn't basketball where one guy gets to just have sacks. It's not the NBA where somebody's got to
score. But these
score.
Guys are also damaged goods in many ways.
That,
this is not Avril and Bennett.
The two of them had
off
17
of
sacks combined.
That's fine.
How many did Clowney have?
3.5.
They had 17.
Yes.
Which would you rather have?
Oh, I would much rather have a guy that wrecks games, that single-handedly beat the team that played in the Super Bowl by himself. Down there before he popped his hernia.
Yeah.
That's the guy that
How
I would much rather
have. How many games did he do
have.
That in?
I'd much rather have the
Two?
Guy that is in his
Three?
20s and the guy who's in his 30s.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have the guy that's got 3, 4, 5 years of upside.
Me too.
I'd much rather have the superstar. I'd much rather have the guy his teammates loved. I'd much rather have the guy in hand than a guy who had his hand blown off.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
That was good. You worked your way right into that. That was
great
impressive.
Builder.
That was very good.
But
you're wrong.
But I understand where you're coming from. Because I don't want to pay that guy $22 million,
especially with the amount of injuries that he's had. And I like Clowney. If they end up re-signing Clowney, it's not like I'm going to be disappointed. You're still going to need to go get somebody else. Also, if you told me you had Clowney and Bruce Irvin, by the way, I'd be fine with like Clowney, Bruce Irvin, Jason Pierre-Paul. Like, go spend all of your money at this
It'd
position.
At least be an improvement.
And figure out whatever the heck else you need to do in the back end with some draft picks, etc. I'm just fine. Howdy, is that possible? Oof. Can you do that?
You got $44 million to spend. You're probably going to eat up 35 of that, 40 to get
Can
those.
I get a sound? Okay.
Oh, what do you need?
Sounds good.
Then you Can need I get a sound drop before we go to him?
That's the algorithm sound.
Your sound.
Yes, whatever algorithm
the
sound.
The Jeopardy Daily Double sound,
yes.
I think.
So how much money, as we sit here today, do they have to spend with this league year beginning in like 2 weeks?
You got $6 million for your draft. You got $44 in cap space.
Okay.
Before you make any changes to your current guys, that leaves you with $38 million to spend.
Okay, well, wait, don't you get to cut Justin Britt and some other people?
You got to do a lot of stuff.
All right.
And do some other things. You can make yourself a space where you're
going
to have
Brock's
about
already cut KJ
million.
Right.
Yeah.
Brock's cut KJ Wright.
He
you
and
can Justin cut Justin Britt.
I've restructured or
okay.
cut them. Yes.
All right. Great.
The max,
see you later.
The max available general number is probably about $52
million. Okay. And what was signing those three guys going to cost me?
Probably like 34.
What's the problem?
Now, you absolutely can move those numbers around, too. Right?
You can manipulate them for a year.
You
okay.
can
sure.
absolutely
well, so
manipulate
bring in those three guys. Let's go. What's the problem? What else do you have to do?
Oh, I don't
Give
know.
Give me three
Corner,
pass rushers.
Safety.
But this is like baseball, though.
Linebacker.
Right? You did those three. Tackle, if you brought in those three guys.
Offensive tackle.
You would be
tackle,
so
yes.
much.
Guard,
you would make all of those receiver, things so much better.
Rate, you need a center.
I don't think you need most
you need
of that.
Help at running back, wide receiver, and tight end.
I don't think you do. I think if you look at what you have right now, all of those things can be minimum purchases.
Hold on. You spent all of last year telling us that this was a 2-win team outside of two players. And now you're going to say you had three pass rushers and now they're an 11-win team?
I think if you
no
had those
way.
Three pass rushers,
no
you
way.
Are so much better than you are right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but if you also added 15 position
but
players,
you also weren't
be
actually a 2-win team because you had Russell Wilson.
Right.
And it's not like I'm getting rid of right. Russell Wilson to bring in the three pass rushers.
This is where
How many games did
team?
They actually win last year?
They won 12.
They won 12 games. You don't think that by adding three legitimate pass rushers to it, you could multiply that or add a couple more wins to that? Two or three wins? I think you can. I think you absolutely could.
With taking away KJ Wright and Justin Britt?
Yes.
That's part of the plan.
Yes.
Okay.
Justin Britt was gone most of the year anyway, and you're arguably better with Joey Hunt and some of the other guys you had around. And who else do I have to get rid of? KJ Wright? I mean, you've drafted and spent at that position, which, by the way, is not nearly as important as it used to be, and you don't have to play bases often, and you've got somebody in Kendricks who can do many of the same things. This is not insane.
But Kendricks is a pretty logical free agent coming off of an ACL. And by the way, with KJ, this is not like cut him and watch him be done forever. I would love to just restructure his deal. I think there's plenty of ways to restructure those numbers, and that's why most of the NFL people chuckle at these outside algorithms. Most of them, when you get them around and you talk about cap space and everything else, they kind of chuckle because they know with a cash-rich ownership group like the Seahawks, howdy, there are ways to get just about everything you want done. Now, you may sacrifice down the road,
yes,
and there may be balloon payments down the road, yes, and there may be dead space down the road, but if you really want to do this, and you feel like, you know, I guess that goes back to, you know, the conversation we had right before we jumped on when you talked about trading for this Ngakoue guy, right? And paying him, doing what the Chiefs did last year with Frank Clark. They gave you a first round pick and then they picked up Frank and they paid him, what, 19, 20 million bucks a year? So what would it cost the Seahawks if this is the guy they target? Is Ngakoue and trading for him and giving up picks a better value than it would be to sign Jadeveon Clowney?
I mean, if you were to trade your first and third round picks, the monetary value in like cap space is about $8 million for a first and third round pick where the Seahawks are at. So to trade for Yannick Ngakoue, or unique Ngakoue, and then give up a first and third round pick and re-sign him to $23 million, that's the equivalent of paying him $31 million
next year. Why would you do all of that? Why wouldn't you just re-sign Clowney?
So the Chiefs did that because they felt like Frank Clark is literally the only piece left for making us a Super Bowl winning team.
And
our roster is so talented.
And they traded D Ford in order to set it up.
They got a little bit back for D Ford. They got a second round pick and some change.
Well, that's not nothing.
But they're also making that judgment on D Ford. They're saying D Ford for us is an $18 million player. Frank Clark to us is a $27 million player this upcoming year.
And by the way, they were probably right about that. D Ford cost them going a chance to go to the Super Bowl the year before, quite literally, and doesn't play the run particularly well and gets hurt.
And that's where the
Seahawks
are right now.
So for them, it made perfect sense.
For the Seahawks, though, we're looking at a roster who 60% of this roster is not good enough to be on a playoff team, period. And you want to go and mortgage and spend something specific to get one guy or one or two guys?
I don't see it.
It just doesn't make any sense. That's where I'm worried about this pass rusher thing. You have so many needs to win a Super Bowl.
But the pass rusher, here's the thing about having pass rushers. It is a WD-40 for a bunch of those other problems. It's a masking agent. It's like the women's birth control stuff that baseball
drugs
players
for baseball
take,
players.
Right, exactly, in order to mask what they're doing. It's a masking agent. If your cornerbacks aren't quite as good, if your safety play is not quite as good, but they don't have to cover nearly as long, they look better. I don't think that their secondary was that bad. I think they need one more really good player in the secondary. I would love for it to be a corner, could be a safety. They need an upgrade at one of those guys, but you could still do that through the draft or have someone, you know, that's findable. Mm-hmm. If you were to add three or even two really good pass rushers and shorten the amount of time the quarterback's sitting in the pocket and actually affect that person's decision making, you don't think that your turnover ratio would go up? You don't think that your corners would be better? I think they absolutely would appear better. And so you effectively solve that problem without needing to spend the money at that position. I don't know, man. I watched this team every single game this year, and the one thing that stood out more than anything was that other quarterbacks had forever to sit back, take a nap, see what they wanted to do, get to their fourth option, and then pick that defense apart. Some of it, Brock, I know it's why you kept complaining about the base defense and this and that, but don't you think a lot of it would have been solved by the quarterback not being so comfortable in the pocket?
It could. It would,
what's the worst game you ever played? Nebraska?
It would absolutely
What's
help.
The worst game you've ever played? Was it at Nebraska?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah. How much time did you have to see?
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Did their secondary get better? Did they have like the best secondary in the world? No, you had no time.
And your clock speeds up. But this is also a group that was bottom five in stopping the run, right? This is also a group that you heard Pete Carroll on the record down at the combine last week with John, you know, put Trey Flowers in a spot that he doesn't put many guys. Like he very rarely is just like blatantly, yep, you know, kind of like Shaquille Griffin the year before. Like, yep, that dude's just got to. he's got to get better. Like, he's got to grow up. Like, he's got to take significant steps forward. I mean, he couldn't cover. Tedrick and Leno couldn't play at safety.
No.
Right? I mean, yes, Quandre was a lot better. But
you ended up getting Quandre. You've got Marquise Blair. If you want, you could keep Bradley McDougal. You don't even need those guys. I mean, at this point, those guys are your fourth
and fifth
safety.
You need Jaren Reed? And where's Jaren Reed going to be in this conversation? I mean, as you look at it right now and you have that cap space, part of the reason is because you don't have Jaren or Quentin Jefferson or Jackson. Like, numbers-wise,
all right,
don't they, as we sit here today on whatever this is, March 3rd?
They have 3 defensive linemen under contract.
Don't they have, like, the fewest numbers of
49.
Players? Huh?
49 players under contract, the fewest in the NFL.
As we sit here today. They got a lot of work to do over the next 2 weeks before this league year begins. They got a lot of work to do to figure out with Clowney. Right, there's other speculation, and part of the reason, you know, and where we started this conversation with Clowney to begin with, is that they're not going to pay him more than Bobby Wagner. The Bobby's sitting there at $18 million. He's the alpha. He's the best player in your defense. He's the all-pro, and we have seen that in years past, that precedent set that, sorry, you know, this is the number. And if that number is 18, I don't think Clowney's coming back here at 18.
That was ESPN's Dan Graziano.
You're saying that basically they would not make any player on their defense higher paid than Bobby Wagner?
Was that Graziano?
Well, Graziano's report was that the Seahawks would not break the bank for Clowney and that Clowney's desire was to do just that, to reset the DN market. He, in that specific report, didn't bring Bobby Wagner into that, but I know I heard you and Danny O'Neill, Paul Gallant talking about that on Danny and Gallant earlier this week, saying the Seahawks are aware of that precedent and they don't want to make someone else the highest paid player on their defense.
Bobby okay? Would Bobby be okay if Clowney's making $20.5 million?
I mean, if he was a linebacker,
he's
no.
a different position.
I know, he does.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
You think Bobby be okay with that?
I really can't speak for Bobby, but I would hope so, just based on the ridiculousness of the way the NFL operates position by position.
Mm-hmm.
It values them differently. I don't understand why. I mean, I don't like it. How many arguments did we have with the professor about this? Like, it's a safety. I don't pay the professor. Okay, but the guy's good. He's better than the defensive end. Why not pay him more? But they don't do that.
Yep.
They don't. That's not the way it operates. Bobby, you've decided to play middle linebacker instead of playing defensive end, and because sacks have a certain value to them, this is what you're worth versus this is what that guy is worth. Don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
I mean, somebody's got to have that hard conversation.
So we meet next Tuesday, but why, right?
I mean, if Clowney's going to cost what?
$23
million. Okay, let's going to take 23 as a number. What does Vic Beasley cost?
18.
What,
16.
What does Bruce Irvin cost?
7.
Okay. Let's just do that.
Ugh.
You wouldn't rather have those two guys?
Ugh.
Really?
Vic Beasley is a halftime. I'm only going to play half
Rick
the snaps.
Beasley?
Vic Beasley. Oh, okay. He's only going to play half the snaps in effort, let alone on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bruce Irvin's like barely going to play this season. He's so old.
He's not that old. He had
He's
a
like
good
34
year last
years
year.
Old.
He had a good year last
playing
year.
On two terrible teams. This guy's not good. They didn't even sign him to a big deal
Since
last
when
year when he was
playing
a free
on a
agent.
Bad team make a player seem
because
good
they get
at that
cheap
position.
Sacks.
You can get some garbage
teams.
Stats, right? And is it about your pressure rate,
your win rate? That goes. Hold on. That has gone against everything else we have heard about football.
Well, bad teams just sack the quarterback all day, Mike.
Right. Generally, we say, well, they're a bad team, and so he had to do it by himself, and he got double, triple teamed, and so he didn't get any sacks.
Yeah, because the speed and the sense of urgency in that Seattle-San Francisco game looked the same as Seattle-Carolina. Because the intency of which your opponent
I'm sorry,
plays.
Sorry, man, it does. I disagree
really?
With you entirely.
By the time the fourth quarter rolls around and they're already down by 25,
I don't agree with that.
The focus level on offense is not the same.
Bruce Irvin is a year older than Von Miller.
You like Bruce Irvin, huh? You think that he's a legitimate
I like him
because
he's cheap.
I think
mean,
he
like,
could come here and get 3.5 sacks, 4 sacks. There's a reason.
And he'd lead the team.
He was never a great pass rusher.
Rasheem Green.
He was not a great pass rusher here for 5 years. He was not great in Oakland, which is why they didn't re-sign him. And great, he popped with some nice stats.
It's not like I'm desperate to get Bruce Irvin. You know me. I don't care about the actual name. I just like the idea. I don't know whether Bruce Irvin's better than Vic Beasley, better than Jason Pierre-Paul. I don't watch like that. I'm not a scout.
But you're willing to that say that those players are better than Quentin Jefferson and Brandon Jackson and Rasheem Green and Eldon
put
Collier.
Howdy and Kyle on each end and think that they'll be
Let's
better
go.
Off because
go.
I watched with my own eyes that they were incapable last year. Brock, I don't know who the right names are. Yep. I know that I think the style and the philosophy needs to be to have multiple guys. That the only time the Seahawks have ever won a Super Bowl, they really succeeded in free agency that year. Right? They were successful. It wasn't Luke Jokel and Eddie Lacy. It wasn't waiting until the very end of the offseason being like, "Oh, I guess this guy's still available. Let's see what he's got." They didn't miss. And they not just doubled up, but tripled and quadrupled up at what they thought was the most important position, and it made everybody else around them better.
And you know what's sad? Is that's exactly what they did 1 year ago at this time. They sat there and said, okay, yep, we're going to get rid of Frank. Why? Because we're going to triple down. We're going to take a first-round pick.
Yep.
We're going to take Ziggy Ansah, and we're going to make a move for Jadeveon Clowney. Like, they just did that last
They should do it
last
again.
March.
And they should do it right. Obviously, Ziggy Ansah was not the right guy.
No, he was not.
I mean,
and LJ last year as a rookie was absolutely not either.
No, he was not.
So that's some of the danger here when you're getting one out of hand instead of one that you know. And to me, there is some value in Jadeveon Clowney, whether it's a million or 2 million or what have you. I know this guy inside and out. I know what he can do. I know what he can do on a D-line with absolutely no help, and he's double-teamed more than anybody else. And so
if he's healthy, which is the other problem. You're not talking about a guy with perfect health. He was barely healthy this year. He missed a huge portion of the year and was a warrior. I mean, I give the guy credit. His pain tolerance is incredibly high.
And I'm going to guess
he had to play injured.
And I'm going to guess if we talk to people in Atlanta, then they're going to say, yep, Vic Beasley's knees, he's never going to be healthy. And, you know, and it was really nice.
But that's why I'm trying to spread it around a little.
Jason Pierre-Paul played 10 games last year.
Right, and he's got a fused neck and the hand, right? I mean,
he had 8.5 sacks in 10 games.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't want that guy at all.
Yeah.
All right, so can I have Jadeveon Clowney and Jason Pierre-Paul?
Yeah, probably.
What do I have to pay for Pierre-Paul?
Probably.
He's old.
10.
10? He's old.
8 to 10.
I thought everybody who's old, you don't have to pay.
You know, the beauty here is Mr. Computer Boy is spitting out these numbers.
But it doesn't mean they're accurate
I know,
at all.
I can't
He's just
wait
giving a number.
2 weeks from now.
It's just howdy speak. He immediately says the first number
Bill
that comes
Barnwell
to mind.
Bill Barnwell has him at $16 million. I'm shortchanging him to give him 10.
Wow. 16 for Jason Pierre-Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, bro, got 8.5 sacks.
He only played
10
games last year. What are you talking about? Can't spend that much money on that guy.
What does Bill Barnwell have for Bruce Irvin? No, Bruce.
No contract available because it's not good.
Then perfect.
Bruce,
so bring him in for $3 million
Bruce,
and be happy.
Bruce!
I think Bruce made 7 last year, so
okay,
probably 5 to 7.
All right. For $5 million, come back, a little hometown discount, the whole deal.
Do you want Jaron Reed back, by the way?
Sure. Oh, I want all these guys.
Yeah. No.
All
no,
we hear about, well, no, it's Clowney was getting double-teamed. Clowney was getting triple-teamed. Well, then where was everybody else?
Yeah, well, Jaron Reed didn't.
Jaron Reed, Rasheem Green, you can't win a one-on-one.
$9 million to Jaron Reed to not do anything?
How
no
much?
Thanks. $9 million bucks.
I don't want to do that. Although a year ago, I thought he was going to be
he
the next Aaron
Donald. He said
10
would be disrespect.
Donald,
so. Right.
Yeah, but right, wait till nobody else offers him 6.
Yeah, I'm not paying him 9. No thanks. No way.
Howdy.
Not good.
Howdy's so sure of himself.
Like I'm with Howdy.
About
dude
what?
Dude's getting one-on-ones all day, every day. If Clowney was supposedly getting all this pressure.
He missed 6 games healthy.
One guy.
I
did
feel
nothing.
Like since you and I got off the air October 1st. I feel like Kyle's not changed much, even with his new title and everything else, kind of running the show around here. He's still in socks and loafers, still the same guy, still the same, right? Watching the Houston Roughnecks, loving that they're 4-0 because, well, they're running the run and shoot, and that's what you're going to see in the...
Whoa! June Jones getting me all hot!
Salk, you're never going to change. I know what I'm going to get with Salk. Every day I walk in here, I know exactly what I'm going to get with Salk. I feel like Algorithm Guy over here has really grown in... I mean, it's tough to say he's grown in even more confidence, but I feel like he has. That he's just been empowered in this new role, that you're just a data-driven howdy, and now you've got answers for everything.
I'm so bored, Brock. I have nothing to do. I have no outlets for my opinions, for anything. I sit here by myself all day long thinking about all the things I want to say with no one to say them to, and I'm just left here pounding furiously on my keyboard, entering numbers into algorithms
on spreadsheets.
But none
of them are accurate. You're just randomly choosing numbers.
None of you spend enough time to even think about this stuff. You don't even know that Jason Pierre-Paul had 8 sacks last year.
Be quiet. Enough.
Howdy's numbers are accurate. I quizzed him against Joel Corey of Over the Cap, and Howdy was nailing contract after contract.
Brock. What do you want the Seahawks to do with a defensive end this offseason?
I want Jadeveon Clowney to be signed. That is the top one priority.
And what else? That's not enough.
Well, he is the top priority.
I get that. Okay.
And then I'm going to wait.
Then what?
And then I'm going to let the first wave go.
Oh.
And I'm going to see it the I'm going to see it the second wave.
Oh, my arm hurts.
Excuse
like
me.
LeBron.
Excuse me, Mr. 1995. I mean, it's 2013.
Man.
You sound like the Mariners back to 1995, 2013, and 95.
I'm just trying to point at a system that
and what
works.
What did they do in 2013? They didn't go in the first wave for Bennett and Averill, to your point. You wait and let the market and let the next wave come in with Averill and Bennett and the rest of them. I'm playing your game. I'm not spending on first wave after first wave after first wave.
No, you're going to wait and get another Ziggy Ansah and his rotting corpse?
Nope, I'm going to wait and let Bruce Irvin come maybe on the third wave.
Oh, now you like Bruce Irvin.
Well, he's a third wave guy. I don't know why you're so mad about waiting for others to come
around. Oh, now you like my guy. A few minutes ago, he was so old.
He is old.
He is.
But he loves it up here.
Not that much. He's had a few chances to come here, and each time he's decided not to.
True.
So, I don't know. All right, so you want Jadeveon Clowney, and then you want to play the waiting game.
I would just
You want to go play roulette.
I'd be disappointed if Jadeveon Clowney. I'd be disappointed if Jadeveon Clowney is not a Seattle Seahawk. I would be, because that's the guy you know. That's the guy that loves ball.
That's the guy that is
a game wrecker.
Brock, I would be too. He was awesome. I really enjoyed him this past year. I like Jadeveon Clowney a lot. But if he's not, I'm not going to panic. I think there are other ways you can skin this cat to have enough pass rush. And if it involves paying a few guys less, but having a real balance on your defensive line and the defensive end spot so that one guy is not getting double, triple teamed and largely ineffective in terms of numbers, I think you can work that way.
Yep. And his name is Rasheem Green and LJ Collier. And those folks,
Come on, man, I'm not saying that.
I know, but that's what those folks down on 405 are saying. Like, that's what they're saying in that building, right? If we get Jadeveon and we got Rasheem and LJ's going to grow, and you know, those are the two. They're not saying that. They absolutely have to say that.
I would change Unir.
Oh, yes, they will. That's their first round pick.
They're not saying that.
That's a third round pick.
Classic Seahawks speak. Yes, oh, we got some really good guys you don't even know about. They've been blocked.
Yes,
Tedrick Thompson, you haven't even been able to see him yet. This dude's a baller.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not buying that right now. Okay. I'll buy that there may be more left for LJ Collier. He's a rookie last year, and I'm generally willing to give rookies a pass and see what they do their second year. He's going to have to show it, obviously. It's not like I'm expecting him to be great, but I'm willing to give LJ Collier a pass and see what happens. I've seen Rasheem Green for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I've seen Brandon Jackson for like 5 years. Like, I think I know what those guys are. Who?
Q-tip.
Quentin Jefferson, good extra player, and I like the flexibility, and he's a good guy to have around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he's modeled after Michael Bennett, he's Michael Bennett very light. I mean, he's not even in the same category of quickness and
you want Michael
disruption.
Bennett back here?
By the way, like, okay, if he's showing up at the end, I'm not averse to it. I would rather not. I would rather not. It is not the direction I would want to go. But you desperately need help at pass rush. Yes, desperately.
Being desperate is the worst.
I know.
Look at what position it puts us in.
Absolutely. You don't want to have gotten to this spot.
How did we let ourselves get desperate?
Well, they made some, you know, Malik McDowell and a bunch of other guys.
Yep.
I don't know. I didn't want those guys either. I mean, it's not like they play the position you need. What?
You want to know why they got in this spot? They paid a bunch of old guys a lot of money for a long time.
Oh, back then, second time?
Now that's why we're here.
To a point. I think it's more just that they didn't draft all that well in a few of those major seasons. I mean, they spent significant draft capital to rebuild their secondary and missed on three of the four guys in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality of it. They drafted four secondary guys in one draft before getting rid of Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Sherman was gone, I forget. But they drafted Shaquille, who worked out, Lano Hill, who did not, Tedrick Thompson, who really did not, and Mike Tyson, who didn't even make the team.
Iron Mike, like that.
They went with four guys in that draft to rebuild the position and had a hit rate of 25%.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's not that you spent some money at guys who were still in their prime. It's that when you tried to replace it, you failed.
How about last year?
You tried to help at your pass rush spot, and you drafted Malik McDowell, who did a knucklehead thing, and then you had to make trades in order to make up for that.
Taxes.
I mean, you know, why are you in this spot? It's drafting more than anything else. It always is.
Taxes. That's why. I hate to do this to you and put you right on the spot like this without – well, actually, you do have your computer in front of you. What the Green Bay Packers did last year. The Green Bay Packers had the exact same need that the Seattle Seahawks had, right? And the Seahawks went and traded Frank Clark. And the Seahawks, frankly, had a little bit more need because they only had four draft picks and they had to sign their quarterback. So, you know, they didn't have the cap space necessarily. But the Seahawks ended up spending on Ziggy Ansah and ended up, you know, bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. What was the cost of those moves? And what was the cost of bringing the Smith brothers to Green Bay?
Za'Darius Smith makes like $16.5 million a year.
Yep.
Preston Smith makes about 14 a year.
So it's about $30 million that they spent on those two guys.
And that's what you got to do. And that's
and
what
they
I'm
had
saying.
To hit perfectly on those. Then they got because when's the last team that you heard that did that?
Isn't
ever
that
before?
Basically the same as Jadeveon yes. Clowney for 23 and somebody else for 7?
Yep.
You got to go spend $30 million on your pass rush. That's what you have to do.
I'm all in on that idea, but the idea of getting two guys you don't know, to Brock's point, and right, hitting Connie, on both of them is
I don't
hard.
Care who it is. Give me two guys at $30 million
and make them
tell
perfect.
Me who they are. Just tell me who the two guys are. One's Jadeveon Clowney, and one is somebody else for $7 million. Is that Jason Pierre-Paul? How much did you say he was worth? 10?
10.
All right, so for an extra three,
for
get
seven,
it done.
He gave you Bruce Irvin.
You've had a little inflation. The salary cap goes up every year. Spend 33 and get me Jadeveon Clowney and Jason Pierre-Paul. Like you need more than one.
Yes.
What is Ziggy Ansah going to cost next year?
I'm going to guess about yeah. three.
He will actually pay you to three? Play. After he's going to be in a nonstop 40-yard dash against that 60-year-old quarterback
with
who they
torn hamstring. McCown had torn his hamstring.
And he still outran him.
Based
to the
off how motivated Ziggy looked to play last year, I don't think he's going to pay you to play. I don't think he's that interested at all.
I'm exhausted after that argument. My gosh, I don't have anything. I'm sweating over here. Like,
I'm ready for round two. Let's
no,
go.
You're done for the
Let's
day.
Let's
no,
go.
No, he's not done.
Howdy's
for the
been
day.
Banned for
no,
the day.
No, he
we're,
is not.
We're done.
Because he studied this draft and knows where all these guys are going
to
get drafted
to the draft
as
here
well.
In a second. God, I did something crazy. We were just talking coronavirus here for a few minutes in our break. I know you didn't have a break, but we took a break because that last segment was so exhausting. So, yeah, this weekend at Cairo, we mm-hmm. did some special programming after the first person passed away from coronavirus. And so I came in just to, you know, help. I didn't really know what I'd be able to do, but you know, a bunch, 4, 5, 6 people from the news department came in. So I said, all right, it's Saturday. I'll go in. And I brought them some pizza, whatever. And so we get here and Heather texts me while I'm here because I have nothing to do. I'm now just sort of sitting here watching them break news. Yeah. And I'm like, she's like, I'm at Whole Foods. It is crazy here. Like people are freaking out and buying everything off the shelf. So I told our news director and she's like, oh, man. I'd love to get some, you know, sound of that. And I was like, oh, do we have any other reporters? No, reporters are all here, here, and here. And I'm like, well, I got nothing to do. You want me? I'm just like, sure. So she teaches me how to use the you know, little microphone recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I set off for Costco. And so I went to the Costco down in Soto.
Oh, yeah.
What a zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was nuts. It was completely crazy. There was a line, I would say 10 cars just to get into the parking lot. This was Saturday. I heard it got worse Sunday.
Yep.
And so I drive around the parking lot for like 15 minutes just looking for a place to park. Now, look, it's always busy on a Saturday. I don't want to exaggerate it, but not like this.
No.
So I get up, and now I stand outside the Costco.
Do we have sound of this in the system somewhere? Mike Salk reporting?
There is some sound
Do
of
I
the
have
people
to go
I
ask
asked.
Colleen?
I think you just have the answers. I don't think they sure. cut my question.
Mike Salk reporting here.
But
no,
you're
it's not that. It's
what?
Not that.
You didn't do that?
I just got sound
oh,
from
really?
People. But I had to ask, you know, excuse me, ma'am, are you stocking up because of the coronavirus? Well, yes, I am. Okay. Can I ask you a couple questions for Cairo Radio? Sure. And then, you know, hey, yeah. why are you doing this? Well, how come? And what are you buying? Toilet paper and sweets for the kids. Those seem to be the two things. They're out of, what's it like there? It's crazy. They're out of Kirkland toilet paper. I'm like, so you're telling me people freak out because of the coronavirus. They get to Costco. And when confronted with the idea of spending money on Cottonelle or Charmin
yeah.
or going without,
right.
they're like, yeah, I'm good. They didn't have any of the cheap stuff. So forget it. Mm. There is no single investment that you can make that is more worth your money than upgrading toilet paper. There is not a single investment in the whole world you can make that is more worth the small amount of money
one.
It costs
I got one
than upgrading your toilet paper. That the cheap, generic toilet paper is trash.
Yep.
It should be thrown out. You might as well go to the hardware store and buy sandpaper.
Well, guess what? That's sold out, too.
Spend your
that
money.
That is sold out
It was
Costco.
Not at the time.
Right.
It was
not at
yesterday.
The time.
Yep.
Go spend your money on Cottonelle or Charmin or even Quilted Northern if you have to. Don't tell me that you can't afford it. You can. Make sacrifices elsewhere in your life.
Yeah.
Stop going
Cottonelle
to Starbucks. Stop Ooh. Going to get coffee or
sure.
Danishes or spending money on whatever it is.
Yep.
It's not more worth it
yep.
than spending in a little
Did
extra
you let
money
people
on
in
coffee.
The Costco know that while
yes,
you're reporting?
Yeah, people, don't you know what to do?
Start yelling at them. This is the best value you have. It's better to upgrade the toilet paper.
Why are you buying Kirkland toilet paper?
Mike Salk for 97.3 Cairo. Yeah.
The only place the story zagged where I thought it was zagged was for sure that Salk was going to say, like, oh, Heather's down at Whole Foods. She can go... be a reporter.
Oh, no. No, she had
because, like, when you had the ghost in the basement, Heather, get up. You're coming down with me.
Yep.
Like, so, oh, no, well, I did this. Great.
I did this by myself.
Heather.
Yeah.
You can grab the bowl by the hands
yes.
and go be a reporter
exactly.
for us right now.
I'm lucky I survived being in that Costco parking lot,
yes.
man. It was
Zoo.
It was madness.
Why
there.
The toilet paper, though? Why is that the first thing to go?
Well, because the one you really want to know, the worry yeah. here is there's no real, the worry is that you're going to get quarantined.
Okay.
And so if you get stuck, it's really just prepping in case you get stuck in your house.
Oh, okay.
So if you get stuck in your house, you don't want to be
you get quarantined like 2 weeks. I mean, how many rolls of toilet paper?
Yeah, but if you don't have enough.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That's like the one, quarantine, yeah. it's been like toilet paper, bottled water, that type of
gotcha.
Stuff.
Gotcha.
So. There was a guy up
and,
in-
And like giant jars of M&Ms.
Vancouver, BC was doing the same thing. Man on the street, they were the
oh,
news
yeah.
was outside the Costco in Vancouver.
Really?
Are you stocking up? What are you getting? And then the one guy walked out with a shopping cart that just had what? 12 boxes of condoms and a gallon of coconut oil.
Oh.
I swear to you. She was like, excuse me, sir, are you preparing for the virus?
Yep.
Yeah. Don't know when I'll get out again. all right. So followed him home.
Gotta have that coconut oil.
Well, let's see you guys segue
that's very
out of this.
Important. No, it's all you. This is your segment to talk about the draft.
A lot of healthy cooking.
Yeah.
Speaking of needing protection, the Seahawks need to protect Russell Wilson. Brock, go.
Okay, before we do that, so that was your weekend, all right? I got a quick little story of my trip down to St. Louis for the XFL.
Worst city in America.
It was a tough city.
It's the worst big city in America, or medium-sized city.
Wow,
St. Louis is the worst, man. It's a terrible city.
Good barbecue. We had some good food.
But you got to drive forever to get it.
Yeah.
I can't. It's one of my least favorite American cities.
Are we going to do around the NFL, or do you
sure.
want to get to the draft? How do we want to do this?
I don't care.
Yeah, let's just let me just tell you one quick a little around the NFL story. When that Tony Romo news broke, right, with the coronavirus, that broke Saturday as far as the first death here in King County. By no means am I comparing the two.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm not. But probably about the same time.
Probably the best.
Yeah, probably. About the same time the news broke that Tony Romo is going to sign with CBS for $18 million a year. And I was in the meeting with Menifee. We were in our production meeting with the director of Troy Aikman's crew and Menifee and Klatt and everybody in there. Absolutely, totally shocked, stunned, and dumbfounded. Had heard rumblings that this was going to happen. But then when it ultimately does, in fact, a few of them were like viscerally upset. Like, how is this even possible? You know that I've had some fun with that. And you can imagine that I think it's totally and patently absurd because I don't think he's anywhere near the best broadcaster. And if I'm Kirk Herbstreit or Todd Blackledge or Troy Aikman or Chris Collinsworth, I don't know if I'm viscerally upset, but I am like, okay, what's the deal here? This guy's worth $18 million a year. I'm the face of college football. This guy's $18 million a year. I'm Sunday Night Football with Al Michaels, the number one crew and the number one rated show in America. This guy's $18 million. I'm Troy Aikman. I'm in the Hall of Fame. I won playoff games. I'm the number one guy at Fox. This guy's worth $18 million
a celebrity.
A year.
Aren't you saying to yourself, can't wait for my next contract?
You think Tony Romo's a celebrity?
Yes.
You think if Tony Romo walks the streets, more people recognize Tony Romo or Troy Aikman?
I think Tony Romo's more of a celebrity than Troy Aikman.
Tony Romo?
100%. Yeah. And it's funny. You know how I got the job here? Based on this exact story. However many years ago, 11, 12 years ago. I was being interviewed to come out to Seattle potentially to do a couple different jobs,
mm-hmm.
and the program director at the time, Rod Arquette, called me and said, "Hey, I heard you last night filling in on ESPN Radio Late Night." I said, "Oh, that's great," and he really liked it, and that's why he asked me to come out and do the show with you, an interview with you. The conversation that he heard was me railing about how Tony Romo wasn't good, but he was a celebrity. He's a celebrity quarterback.
Mm.
People know his name. He gets a lot of conversation because he's the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, because he dates celebrities, and people confuse knowing the name for being great. He was never great. He was a good quarterback who threw way too many interceptions, took way too many chances, and ultimately choked every year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knew his name because he dated a bunch of singers and stuff. So everybody, and because he would get himself into the news all the time. Sorry, Troy Aikman. Sorry, Joel Klatt. You guys are great. You're fantastic at analysis. You're better even than Tony Romo. But he's a celebrity. And celebrities get paid in
Jesse
this country.
Palmer's a celebrity. He was The Bachelor. Jesse Palmer's a celebrity. He's not getting paid. Is Kirk Herbstreit a celebrity? He's the face
Jesse
of college
wasn't
football.
Able to turn his celebrity status, though, into the same sort of hysteria around him calling
games. He had
games.
A lot of ground to make up in his ethos,
right.
too. I mean, the baseline that Tony
he
Romo
did. He had a lot of ground to make up in his
years
ethos.
Years
a deficit
year.
What does that even mean?
He always had an ethos problem, was
what
always my
mean?
Thing
what
with Jesse
that,
Palmer.
What
like, it felt like he was great, but it just lacked
his
an
pathos
ethos.
Was strong.
Strong pathos.
Major ethos issue.
I don't know. I think it's dumbfounding.
Also however many years ago.
I think the reality is if Monday Night Football had hired Kurt Warner 3 years ago instead of Jason Witten, you know what, when John Gruden had left and they said, you know what, we interviewed 40 different guys or 50 different guys, did demos and had charcuterie plates with Joe Tessitore and hanging out and trying to get everything right. And if they would have said, you know what, let's sign the Super Bowl winner, the Hall of Fame quarterback, just got in the Hall of Fame, a guy that's been doing broadcasting for a decade, a guy that does radio games for Westwood Run and everything. Let's ultimately, because he was on the very short list, let's sign this guy. And if Kurt Warner had gone in there and done a good job, you know, not John Gruden, and maybe not even a star, but he got in there and done a good job and, you know, calling out plays, and he had a lot of relationship in the league. He did a good job. We never even get to this point. I think the fact that the Monday Night Football booth with Jason Witten showed the downside.
I don't know,
and absolutely fell on its face, opened the door for this hysteria, this fear, this panic that we've got to have this guy.
I don't know. I don't think it's that. I'm not saying that couldn't have played a role. But I think you're underselling Romo, and it's not to say that I like watching the games he calls. I'm not Mr. Romo fan. I understand why he kind of annoys you and bothers you. But I think you're missing the fact that Tony Romo in some way changed it. He changed what was normal for a broadcaster. He was an innovator. You may not like the innovation. You may think that it was more parlor trick than actual analysis, but he changed and innovated what it meant to be a color commentator in a football game. Rather than Phil Simms being folksy, I'd rather watch Phil Simms today. I love watching Phil Simms do a game. It's why I like watching Booger do a game. Mm-hmm. I think they're just sort of folksy and fun to hang out with, and I don't really care too much about the amount of analysis I get. But Tony Romo was the first to say, I'm going to start calling the plays before they happen. And do it in such an excited kid in a candy store manner that it's almost irrepressible. Well, people liked it. Yep. It was new. It was fresh. It was different. And as much as I love you and Joel and Collinsworth and Aikman and all those other guys, they didn't innovate this way. He did something different. And because of it, that is what ended up giving him this level of power over CBS and ESPN.
Yeah, Kurt Warner's good, he's in the booth. Tony Romo's making $4 bucks at CBS, not 18.
I don't know, man.
He got in a bidding war, and he negotiated at a time where there was two desperate entities. The CBS will have a Super Bowl this year, and they're going to be negotiating for TV rights deals that include billions of dollars.
That is right place, right time,
no
for sure.
No question that he has absolutely hit the perfect crossroads.
But that CBS stuff would have been true whether ESPN was needed it or not. They still, Tony would
there
still
would not have been a second. Who
right, maybe it wouldn't have been 18 million. Maybe it would have been 14.
Chris Collinsworth is just fine at NBC.
Yeah, but Tony Romo doesn't need the money. I walk away and go play golf. And if CBS is that desperate to fill something for all the reasons you just mentioned, I still think he would have had some leverage. You're right. Maybe it wouldn't have been 18.
Yep.
But he still would have, I think, completely reset the market. And it's because he did something new, whether we like it or not.
Here's what's going to be fascinating. And what happens with Mr. Aikman or Mr. Collinsworth or Mr. Herbstreit or any of those guys? Right? Does this now set a bar for those guys? Because Tony Romo's not innovative anymore. He did that his first year in a couple games where it was really cute. It was awesome.
But that's now the narrative around him. That whether it's true or not, that's the narrative around him. Yep. Did you see Rovell's poll on this?
I did see that.
I don't know whether it's real. Yeah. I mean, it's a Darren Rovell Twitter poll. It's not like this is the Gallup organization or anything. But in honor of Super Tuesday today, he did do a poll. And what, 60, 65% of respondents said they would watch a Tony Romo game because Tony Romo was calling it.
Yep.
I think that's rare. I don't think that's true.
Yes.
But even if it's a third of people,
that's impressive.
The fact that anybody would watch a game just because an announcer is doing it is remarkable.
Yep.
And if he does bring that kind of, I think that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But those have to be some of the numbers they're looking at. CBS has enough money to do some of their own internal polling.
Yeah.
You don't think they figured some of that out ahead of time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he had what ultimately everybody wants, and that's incredible leverage.
And if you got to spend $17-18 million,
desperate because they need to lock in their star as they negotiate their TV deals.
Yes.
He absolutely
did
it.
If you can spend $17 million in order to make how many hundreds of millions later off the NFL, then you've got to do that.
Yes.
And you're right. He ends up getting kind of lucky in the whole thing, but you got to give him some credit for developing something new in order to get there. All right. Do we still have time?
I don't know. I mean, are all these draft guys, you want to do some of this draft stuff right now? I think we need to. I'm curious with Howdy's little algorithms, because this is only going to grow from here until we get ready for this draft. Let me just go through a few of the position groups a little more quickly today, and I think we can do a deeper dive in the weeks and months ahead.
Okay.
But coming off of the combine, which I don't know. I didn't watch it as religiously as I used to when we did this show. So I don't have as many takeaways and tidbits as I once did, but there's no question that for me, I get excited watching these guys who I've watched develop for the last 4 or 5 years. So let me go through a few of them. And Howdy, if you wouldn't mind, because you have been and paid so much attention to every mock draft that is out, and that is one of your algorithms over there, you shoot down any possibility of whether they would be there or where the Seahawks pick in 27?
27.
So let me go through the list here of just, these are some of my favorites through their career, and it only further advanced that narrative at the combine over the weekend. At running back, give me Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is a running back out of Wisconsin who ran 4.38, but he's got 6,000 yards of production. He's a fumbling machine, which I hate, which I think knocks him down a peg or two. Where is Jonathan Taylor in most of these mocks?
He may be in the first round. Maybe not. There might not be a running back taken in the first round.
May not be a running back because it's so loaded in so many other positions and the devaluation of running back. If the Seahawks draft Jonathan Taylor, I will be fist bumping, you know, my pops or Molly or you or whoever I'm around, because he has been one of my favorites the last 3 years. A.J. Dillon, running back out of Boston College.
Third round.
6'2", 247.
He's a big boy. I've seen him play.
Third or fifth round.
6'2", 247, running 4.51, vertical 41 inches and repping 225, 23 times. And by the way, carrying Boston College to any win they had the last 3 years. Because he had...
Oh, what about your defensive end guy?
Because he had nobody. That's Harold Landry. Who, yeah. How many sacks Harold Landry have this year, by the way?
2.5.
You want Harold Landry?
No.
Are you
Went
sure?
To BC defensive
Are
man,
you
I'm
sure
out.
He only had 2.5 sacks?
Positive.
Okay, Kyle, go look up Harold Landry, because Salk told me you 100%
sure.
Ever draft a guy out of Boston College.
Well,
to
no,
rush
I didn't say
passer,
that. Just, yeah, just
to
rush
the passer.
Right.
You could draft Andre Williams, running back, or you could draft A.J. Dillon. Sure. I like A.J. Dillon a bunch. And whereas Jonathan Taylor may be too rich, the A.J. Dillons of the world, you give me a 6'2", 247-pound man that runs that fast, is that explosive in this offense? Sign me up for that. You find Harold Landry? How many sacks
you,
for
you cannot draft.
9 sacks.
Oh, what did you say, bro?
At BC?
That was a 9
in the ACC?
Sack year
oh.
for Harold Landry.
In the ACC?
No.
Totally get it.
I mean, the AFC South. So, like, basically.
Basically the
yeah.
ACC. Yeah.
Wide receivers. Can I give you a couple wide receivers?
You where can, is, but I don't want any of these guys.
Where is Henry Ruggs getting drafted, boy howdy?
Somewhere between pick 7 and pick 16.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. You don't get a shot at that.
He gone.
Yeah. Well, didn't he run like something crazy?
He ran 4.27.
Yeah, I feel like he's not going to be around.
42 inches.
Don't worry, though. Michael Irvin says speed doesn't matter.
Did you hear that argument, though? It was actually a pretty darn fascinating argument. There's no receiver in the Hall of Fame.
Yet.
But there's no receiver yet in the Hall of Fame with a sub-4.4.
Right,
40.
But a lot of the... But the guys didn't start running that fast until recently. The only guys who did were just those sort of track guys who showed
Interesting
up.
Interesting point.
I mean, I think in the last few years, Julio Jones and some of these guys may end up getting there.
Yep.
Calvin Johnson, is he under 4.4? He may end up getting there. I mean, like, I think his argument over time is not going to hold water because the numbers are getting better every year, and now it's much more normal to be under that amount.
I wonder if Isaac Bruce, that number. Like Isaac Bruce was sub-4.4 guy. Maybe we'll have to check some of those facts. But yes, that supply is going to go way, way up. Henry Ruggs, unbelievable.
In his day, he was talking about James Jed and Alexander Wright. And,
yes.
I mean, those guys were just track guys who came over to play football.
But even in the last 10 or 20 years, Marvin Harrison and Andre Reed and some of those
it's
guys
have
gone in.
Certainly not the most important thing.
No.
But I don't think it's some sort of thing that precludes you from getting into the Hall of Fame.
How about Denzel Mims, the receiver from Baylor? He's available.
Second round.
6'3", 207, ran 4.38, jumped 38. By the way, I was comparing him to DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf at the combine last year was 6'3", 228, ran 4.35, vertical 40.5 inches, broad jumped 11'2". I mean, absolutely outrageous numbers. Denzel Mims from Baylor, not quite there, but pretty darn close. And if he's available in the second round, so you're not going to take a running back or receiver. If one of these guys, one of these exceptional talents is there, one of those Pro Bowl caliber
I am not.
That you deem, you're not.
Okay. I absolutely would, but go ahead.
Oh, it took us 50 minutes into this podcast, and Brock is now cross-checking all his opinions with Howdy.
Right.
And where will he go, Howdy?
It's unbelievable.
Let me give you one last receiver, too.
How did that happen?
Let me give you one last.
What world are we living
in? I'm fact-checking because he looks at all these mocks, and I know you pay no attention to it. You're out reporting the Whole Foods on toilet paper, so you have no time to be
I'm very busy.
You become a toilet man. I'm the mock draft guy.
Who's the guy that you like from San Francisco, the little receiver they took in the second round last year?
Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
I like. There's an understatement.
Most of the combine was trying to find the next Deebo, by the way. I mean, when the receivers were running, that was like a huge narrative. Give me the next Deebo Samuel.
Right.
How about Devin Duvernay? Devin Duvernay is the next Deebo Samuel, who is Devin was 5'10", 200. He ran 4.39. He verticaled 35.5. He broad jumped over 10. His little shuttle 20-yard was the third fastest of any of those dudes. And by the way, he went to Texas. And when I asked Tim,
oh, I've seen him, actually.
Yes. When I asked Tim Beck and Tom Herman about Devin Duvernay, they said he is a bleep hole. Like, he's just...
In a good way?
In a great way. Oh. Like, he just is that guy that on a football field is just an absolute jerk. That you hate him, but you love him, right? People don't want to play him. And even with teammates, like on game day, the dude is ferocious.
I like that.
So
I'm into that. Second round, third round guy?
He's rising, but he was before this all like a third to fifth round
guy. I like that. I'm into that. I'm into a third round receiver.
Yes. Devin Duvernay. Remember that name.
Okay.
It is kind of weird as I'm turning and looking at Howdy for all of these things.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Here is a very intriguing name, Howdy, and I'm really anxious to hear about this one. Offensive tackle.
Trey Adams. excuse me. Never mind. As an undrafted free agent, I meant.
Austin Jackson.
So, scouting world very split on him.
Hope he's better as a left tackle than he was as a center fielder.
When mock drafts were first coming out, nobody had him in the top three rounds.
No, we couldn't.
Now, some people say he's the best tackle as far as skills go in the draft.
Oh. Austin Jackson, true junior, three-year guy out of SC, young. Pete Carroll loves those young guys out of USC. 6'5", 322, 34-inch arms, 5'07", 40, 27 reps in at 225, and a good player at SC. This year, I remember watching him like, man, this dude is good. Like, why aren't people talking about Austin Jackson, not the center fielder that couldn't steal second? I'm talking about Austin Jackson, left tackle,
Isn't
USC.
Isn't there a Stanford offensive lineman
Walker
or something?
Little decided to go back to college. No, there's a bunch of them. There's actually a kid out of Boise State, Ezra Cleveland, who blew up at this combine.
I don't want that. I want a
Tristan Wirfs from Iowa is going to be long gone.
I will take an Iowa guard. I'll take a offensive lineman from Stanford. Those are the things I want.
You're not going to take a left tackle from SC?
Probably not.
That
too
dude,
pretty.
I don't know. The dude that's down in Dallas, down pretty there. Good, right? The guy that
Tyron Smith.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, yeah. And this guy is not as quite as freaky long.
I'm not
that
taking
dude.
The guy who learned from Clay Helton.
This guy's pretty good.
Late first to early third. It's
as
a
far
wide
as
range.
Athleticism. Like if Austin Jackson, remember when we watch Dwayne Brown run on the field, and mm-hmm. you're like, that dude's an athlete.
Yeah.
Austin Jackson looks just like that. You're
but,
like, that
don't you need a right tackle who can just go punish people?
Yeah, like who benches 225 27 times, who is a powerful dude. Yeah, give me that guy.
All right.
And then, you know what? Eventually, when Dwayne Brown, maybe after a year, continues to age and get old, I've got my left tackle of the future. Just remember that name. Like, he is way, way, way up there. Not even before this combine. Just from a likability factor, I like that guy. You know the bummer? In this whole 35-minute discussion we had about pass rushers, Salk, and how many do we add and how many do we pay, this is not a great class at the end.
That's why you got to go pay them.
So Chase Young's going to be the number two pick. The guy that I really like out of LSU, Chase Young's going to be long gone as well, right? Even though he didn't work out at the combine, he's got an injury history.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit wide in the first round, somewhere between pick 6 and pick 18.
Yeah, I would say the guy out of Penn State, where do they have Gross?
Richard Gross Matos?
Yes.
So he's another guy that's between like pick 21 and pick 52.
What?
Somewhere in the late first,
issue with his
mid
ethos.
Second.
Yeah, you're going to like Gross Matos, by
I
the
sure
way.
Sure am.
Yeah. 6'5", 266, 34 and 7/8 inch arms.
Oh,
I
yeah?
mean, long.
Wow.
Long.
You know
arms.
That gets me excited.
Yeah. And unlike LJ last year, 34 inch vert over 10 foot broad and had 9.5 sacks. I went back and looked at LJ Collier's stats at the combine last year, 4.97, 40. You know, just kind of a tweener, 6'2", 283, like first round.
Just didn't do it for you, huh?
No, he didn't. So, and there's not many of the DNs to do this year. In the weeks ahead, I'll give you some more DNs, some more D tackles. I can tell right now we're getting near the Charles Davis realm where I'm mentioning names and you're like, okay, I'm out.
Mike was out after our second name, by
yeah,
the way.
I gave
He's
you Devin Duvernay and Austin Jackson. I gave you a few to chew on.
Have you still I've not been listening to you in 10 minutes.
I started working on emails.
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting ready for answering the question,
so
jerk.
Excited.
I'm pulling stuff up.
People who listen to us forever know that this is a great thing. Like, we're very excited.
I'm going
to
give you one last one, okay? Remember this one. Because, yes, they can go back and listen to the tapes.
You're great at this.
On
I know.
Russell
I just
Wilson.
Don't care.
They can go back to the tapes on Tyler Lockett. They can go back to the tapes on Rashad Penny. Right? They can go back to the tapes, and they can find that these were the dudes that we were talking
You're
about
right.
way back when.
It's true.
Let me give you, like, a fourth round. Tell me you've not seen the name Chris Miller, safety, on any of your
nope.
lists.
No way.
Hold on. Now, hold on. You've captured my attention.
Yes. Take,
any hit?
The most violent college football
Chris
player
Miller?
This year. Yes.
Where'd he come from?
From Baylor. The dude had three targeting penalties and ejections this year.
Is he smart enough to play safety?
He's 5'11", 190. He didn't run great, though he jumped out of the gym at 36 inches.
Is he smart enough to play safety in the NFL?
Yeah.
He went to Baylor.
Yeah, give me a fifth or sixth round pick for Chris Miller, because he's just that guy, kind of like Marquise Blair, but even more violent.
Where does Baylor rank on your Florida State scale of guys who come out of there?
That's a good question. Florida State's still number one for Rockhead U.
Right.
Like any, or in Virginia Tech, right? They're like one and one A.
But you get kicked out of Virginia Tech if you get caught with marijuana, period.
True,
you're out.
True. But just as far as former teammates in my era that right. I played with, it was like, whoa.
Baylor can't be too far behind. Although RG3 is sort of in a different category. He's a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
But he's a quarterback. That's different.
There's a D-tackle Lynch out of Baylor I kind of like, too.
Wow.
There are a lot, this draft, by the way, this combine, I'll just give you that. How about I should have done this from the beginning? Should have gave you my declarative statement from the top?
Please do.
This draft loaded with Seahawk dudes. This draft loaded with John and Pete and Trent Kirshner and the rest of the guys getting in there going, ooh, I remember after the Super Bowl, seeing those guys right after the 13 Super Bowl getting ready for that draft, and they were like, or the 14 draft, like, and some of the 15. Like, there have been some drafts that they have not been overly excited.
This one's pretty
offensive
good.
Offensive line, wide receiver, DB, maybe not the pass rushers you want,
defensive
corners,
tackle.
Yes, D-tackle, there are a lot of D-tackles. Like, this is a draft that get Mr. Fitterer and Kirshner and those guys down there in Renton, pretty excited because there's a lot of talent to work with.
This is Brock and Sox. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, here we go. We answer your questions. Used to be the end of every show. Now it's whenever we feel like it. Although, man, somebody's taking shots at us for doing Answer the Question, Jerk
on
the Twitter.
Oh, you guys don't have anything to talk about on your podcast?
Right. We got stuff on the cutting room floor, I'll have you know.
Sitting on a bit I did weeks ago. We haven't even
What happened
yet.
To your bit?
Who knows?
What was it?
It's out in the ether.
What was it about?
It's about the Astros.
That's too late for that.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
They'll come to town someday.
That's old news.
Someday we'll play.
We'll use that one.
Oh, yeah, when they come to town.
When is that?
May 16th, 17th, 18th.
Really?
That
sounds good. I'm excited for that.
Next question.
Brock, what is your favorite scene in any Arnold Schwarzenegger film? Your favorite single scene? There's so many good ones. How do you choose? I got a couple that come
to mind.
That's number one, where he drops Sully off.
It's way up
in
there.
In Commando.
Yes.
I was watching Warriors the other night with Heather, and yes. Sully's in it. He's the bad guy in the Warriors.
Yeah.
He's the guy going, Warriors.
When he throws the pipe right through John.
That's pretty good. So you're going Commando. See,
yeah.
I don't even know if that would be my favorite scene in Commando.
I think I watched Commando 92 times.
I think
times.
My favorite scene in Commando is when they break into the gun shop and he just starts loading up on all of his supplies.
Such a horrible
that
movie.
That one's pretty high on my list. I would have said that maybe.
Movie.
I like the similar scene in Terminator 2 when they go down into the... into like the guy's like vault under the gas station. And they get all the stuff they need to go break into Cyberdyne Systems, Skynet. Those are pretty good.
I think in Pumping Iron when he's sitting on top of the mountain, then I'm the king of the mountain. I'm the king of the hill. You come get me. I'm the king. Pumping Iron, very underrated.
There's a lot of good answers to this one. Heather and I were watching Total Recall.
Kyle, anything? Any Schwarzenegger, any?
Nothing. He's got nothing.
Boy, the 60s were a long time ago.
Oh, right.
I love
I'm a cop, you idiot. Detective John Kimball.
The kindergarten cop?
Kindergarten cop, Astoria, Oregon. Yeah. That's all I got.
Yep. Next question.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who is your daddy?
He also in that one says, I'm the body pooper. That's a good one.
Next question.
All right, which is worse in a home quarantine situation, Brock? You were asking about this earlier.
Yeah.
A, running out of toilet paper. This comes from Gus Griffin. Or B, having to spend it with Bruce Arians. B. You could make do with toilet paper. I mean, you have to. But spending that whole time with Bruce? No.
Ugh.
No chance.
You can go paper towel, napkins. You have a lot of opportunity on the toilet paper thing before you're at a total zero, right?
Think, yes. I mean, but you don't want to do that, though.
No.
That's another question here from Gary. Did you panic buy toilet paper?
No.
I did not.
Actually, no.
I will tell you that someone in my family ordered some from Amazon and it got delivered yesterday. I had nothing to do with it, though. Same person who asked my parents to go shopping around looking for Purell because she couldn't find any here.
What do you think Costco? So the Costco where I'm at, I got a new one in Redmond there right off the 520. I was chatting with some of their workers. Even yesterday was an absolute zoo. There was no cart. So the gal was out front with wipes, wiping the cart down. And, you know, we got clean carts and we've got water still. And he went in. There was no chicken left. There was, like, hardly any
of it. People are panic buying chicken?
Yes. Yeah, there was no chicken. No fresh chicken. Nothing. No rotisserie chickens. Nothing.
I got to get rotisserie chicken tonight.
Yeah, no. Oh, it was gone at Costco. They said they went through the first 7 minutes when they opened the door on Sunday. Mm. There was 250 members lined up, like, around the building. Went through 250 members through the door in the first 7 minutes. What do you think that revenue number is in that one single day?
I don't know.
I've heard the panic is like in the head of those. All those people were waiting in line, just freaking out.
Yeah.
They all had
the people
gloves
who
and masks.
Charge in there. Oh, my God.
So worried.
Yes.
Next question.
Let's see. Jerks, what would it take for you to become vegan? It would probably take some sort of disease. It would take some sort of a disease where I could I would have to have something like that where I could no longer consume anything but vegan products.
Yeah.
Like it would have to cause death for me not to. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else that would make me become vegan.
I get a lot of gas when I eat a lot of the vegan food, the vegan patties or the vegan anything.
Lots of beans in
it. Yeah, the beans give me gas 1,000%. I think I've got an allergic situation, actually.
Which really isn't a problem for you because you don't have a sense of smell.
That's right.
So really, you're just being courteous to Molly not being...
Correct. Question for you guys. I was thinking about this. I was trying to put a little Twitter poll.
Next question.
And I couldn't frame the question the right way.
Epic poll.
There will not be... It's hard to imagine there will be the hysteria around a Mariner like there was for the kid. For Ken Griffey Jr. For any number of reasons. He was the number one. Yeah. He was Ken Griffey Jr. playing with senior. He was the kid. He was... Yeah. It's hard to imagine there will ever be anything like that again. But Jared Kelnick is creating quite a roar. You talked about the noise of his home run the other day. And he's, I was reading articles, from the New York Mets angle of that thing and the debacle and how he wants to be the face of baseball. I mean, he has those yearnings. He's willing to put it all out there. What is the last hype? Are you feeling any hype around?
I'm feeling significant. I'm more excited for this than I have been for any in a while. I can't help it. It's impossible to watch Kelnick and Julio and Gilbert and the rest of those guys and not just start daydreaming, and I would say even daydreaming pretty big. And I've made a promise to me, to you, to all of you that I'll at least try not to demand that they get called up immediately, that I'll try to be patient, because I know that patience is a virtue, especially in baseball, and baseball rewards patience. I understand that Kelnick has like 90 plate appearances above A ball and that he's not really ready yet.
Yes.
But then I watched that home run. And I immediately get him up here. Let's go! Like I'm pretty excited for this group to see what they can do.
A-Rod?
They just need more pitching with it.
Is there a level of A-Rod excitement? Dustin Ackley was the number two.
Those guys were
1-1, right?
19 years old up in the big leagues.
Kelnick's not that. Oof. Those guys were the top prospects.
Ackley,
in baseball.
Zanino, top five picks.
Zanino.
Golden Spikes Award winner.
Better than those guys, probably.
Okay.
In terms of hype.
So you've got to go back to A-Rod.
It would have to, I mean.
I think Ackley is not that different, to be fair. I know it's easy to kind of rewrite it now. Dustin Ackley was the consensus number two pick, and in any other year where there wasn't a freak show going ahead of him in Steven Strasburg, he would have been the consensus number one overall pick. So I think there was a lot of hype about Dustin Ackley, and he was living up to it in the minors. He lived up to it in the majors when he first got here. Before he started dragging his foot along with him some sort of a suitcase, he was actually a pretty good ball player at the very beginning. That first year, he was very good. Patient, hit the ball well, hit for a little bit of power, ran the bases. He wasn't great at playing defense yet. But, I mean, Dustin Ackley, before going into the tank, looked like he was going to live up to all of that hype.
In terms of hype, though, I think you're probably right, Brock. I mean, the ceiling for Jared Kelnick is a true five tool.
Yes.
Truly 35 home runs, truly 20 stolen bases, truly 300 average. Dustin Ackley was going to be batting title. Hopefully he get 20 home
and
runs
for
someday.
20 years.
Maybe has a position.
Remember Keith Law on the phone with him? I was in Chicago. I remember having the conversation. He's like, well, I'll win you a batting title or two, but nothing great. Like, all right. Thanks, Keith.
Oh, Keith.
And you know what else? For 20 years, they've been looking for really since A-Rod and that kind of talent is a player that says, yeah, I'm this good. like for 20 years to have the edge. You never heard that from Ackley or Zunino or any of those guys and the pitchers and everything. Like, no, I'm this good and I'm going to be the face of baseball. Like, this is what I have in store for me.
And Julio Rodriguez wants to break baseball. That was his quote from last year. I want to break baseball. That's how good I want to be.
Maybe we'll get special. Breaking baseball would be incredibly impressive. Seems like something that's a pretty good goal.
Next question.
Let's see what else we got here.
Next question.
Jerks. When you can't remember someone's name that you should, do you confess that you don't remember, or do you go along saying hi every day, hoping they'll inadvertently reveal their name to you?
Most of the time, I go on a search. I go looking deep. Somewhere on the internet, I try and find it. Try and face match or something, whatever it is. I try and go around the whole system of interpersonal relationships.
Someone in the office or, like, anyone?
Well, this says, like, a neighbor.
Okay. Often you try to go with a third party triangulation.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, have you met my wife? Hey, I'm Caitlin.
Right.
I'm Steve. Nice
right.
to meet you.
And you are... Steve. Oh, Steve. God. Yeah. But you got to have to set that person up for. You have to tell your third person, mm-hmm. hey, I need you to help me get this person's name. Mm-hmm. That's key. I'll just go on faking it. Whatever.
Yeah, me too.
Next question.
When you guys were kids, what was your go-to pick from the ice cream man? Really? You're asking this on March 3rd? Ice cream man? I probably went with the rocket popsicle.
That was way up there. That
Flintstones push pop, always strong.
The baseball cookie. Mitt. The baseball mitt with the bubble gum. In the middle. Oh, absolutely.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, man.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of that.
Amazing.
Ice cream sandwich.
I went with Choco Taco a lot. Big Choco Taco fan.
Could see that.
I don't think I've ever had a Choco Taco.
Oh,
no, we had
they're good.
You know, sounds last
good.
Night.
Yeah. I don't know why I've never had.
No,
one.
We had so last good. Night. And actually, Titus at basketball practice canceled because they had to do a deep clean of the facility.
Of course.
So he was home with mom getting it ready, and Molly sent me a picture of Titus and mom making dinner last night. Tater tot
casserole.
Oh,
the Heward family legend.
And man, was it good! Oh, was it good? It's really just shepherd's pie. But it's with tater tots.
Shepherd's pie's good.
Yes, but imagine instead of the mashed potatoes, they're tater tots with a little crispiness.
I can imagine that.
Oh, oh, and lots of cheese.
Next question.
Have you ever not gone into a restaurant because of the smell? Now, you haven't had this problem.
Never.
So, Heather and I we had to go to Capitol Hill on Saturday night for a
after
birthday
your reporting,
party.
Right?
We had a 40th birthday party for a friend, so we went down to Capitol Hill. It was a lot of fun. Happy birthday to Nick. And we went down, we were going to grab some food earlier, and there was a ramen place kind of right down the street from where we were going. So we got over there, and it's a small place. Some people there were waiting in line, so we had to wait a little bit. It's very popular. And Heather went in to put our names in and came back out. It smelled really strongly. Now, not necessarily bad. Right. It wasn't like a bad smell. I don't want to denigrate this. But really strong and in a way, like, I've never really smelled anything quite like it. Mm. And we started talking as we were waiting outside. Like, if we go in there and eat, we are going to reek for the rest of the night.
Yes.
And ultimately, we didn't go in. Oh. We got sushi next door.
Oh.
What do you think of that? Would you have waited?
No.
You don't care.
No. I have a really tough time going into pho restaurants for that reason.
Because they smell strong. Pho
smells so overwhelming.
It's a very strong smell.
Like, if I usually will go pick it up for my wife because I don't love it. I'll pick it up and I'll leave it. I'll leave for a couple hours and I'll come back later. No thanks.
Next question.
Guys, now that you're only doing a podcast, have the payments from Russell Wilson's agent and publicist been cut also? Whoa. No, those are still rolling in. Brock, how much does Mark Rogers pay you now? What's that at?
We didn't even get to...
Most of my money, to be fair, still comes from NHL Seattle. They're still paying most of my paycheck.
Lywicki?
Yeah, I don't have the ability to collect from both Russell and Lywicki.
Even after you got the arena built?
Yeah, they're still coming. Yeah, they're so happy for what we did for them, being right at every single turn that they're still paying.
How about Zarenzik? He's still paying you?
No.
Still on the payroll there, too?
We're off that one, unfortunately. Not much there. All right, that'll do it for us. A big answer to the question jerk finish to today's podcast. We will do it again next week. Take care, everybody. Hey.
Barn.
See you, everyone.
Get to the chopper!